Hey, everybody, it's Ryan Ripley. Wanted to get a new offering in front of you as soon as possible, evidence-based leadership. And so as you all know, Todd Miller, myself, and Will Seeley, we're big on evidence-based management. We want to apply it to the leadership space. We all know that modern managers face complex challenges every day. You're juggling a lot of needs, your direct reports, your stakeholders, your customers, they all need constant attention. What we want to do is help you manage that. We want you to use information and data to make good decisions around all of these areas so that we're delivering the right thing at the right time for the right customer. And we know that we're doing that because we're using data and evidence to validate all the things that we're doing. And not only that, we're not just looking at value, but we're looking at our capabilities as an organization. Can we deliver on time? Can we innovate effectively? Do we have too much tech debt? Do we have too many things in process? Are we unable to deliver when the market demands that we do? We look at all of these things with evidence-based management. We merge that into a leadership mindset and lens, and we enable you to make new and better decisions repeatedly based off of the data that you're collecting within your organization. It's exciting stuff. We hope you can join us. Visit agileforhumans.com/EBL course. Join us in one of these offerings. We think you're going to love it. Hope you can join us. Use Agile for Humans, the number 4, to take another 15% off of this course, and we can't wait to see you there. All right, welcome back. It's our 7th episode of Scrum is Hard and Disruptive, the playlist based off of a white paper from Ken Schwaber back in 2006 with the same name. He came up with 15 statements about Scrum. We're taking a look at all 15. Again, this is number 7 to see how well they hold up. Be sure to like and subscribe, do all the normal YouTube things, leave us your questions and comments below. We love questions and comments. We may do a few follow-up videos if there's some really good questions. But with that said, Todd, I think I'm going to read number 7, and then we'll pull this apart. How does that sound?
It sounds good to me.
The use of Scrum to become an optimized product development and management organization is a change process that must be led from the top and requires change by everyone within the enterprise. Change is extremely difficult and fraught with conflict and may take many years of sustained effort. Turnover of staff and management can be expected. It's a pretty heavy statement.
Yeah. I think the first part, optimized product development management organization, is a change process, right? We know that. That must be led from the top and requires everyone in the enterprise. Wow, right? That must be led from the top and requires everybody from the enterprise. I can't help but bring back to what we've been talking about. And you wrote the blog article on that got stomps and kicks and punches and whatever you want to call it.
A lot of likes too.
A lot of likes. But we only remember the bad things for some reason. Shouldn't be that way. But
yeah, Todd's talking about a blog post I wrote called Stop Hiring Scrum Masters and Empower Your Development Leaders. So basically, have dev managers and directors take on the Scrum Master accountabilities. We'll put a link in the notes if you want to check it out. But yeah, it led to an uproar. But maybe that idea, Todd, is I think what you're alluding to might be aligned with what Ken wrote here.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting the evolution of this, right? Because I used to go into organizations where I was working for organizations, and I had started at bottom up, right? My first couple times using Scrum, using Agile practices, was started as a developer or brought in as a Scrum Master. And we've really got stunted, right? No one would listen to us or me, and it caused a lot of problems. And what I will say is that exclusively top down, I don't believe works either, right? I'm starting to wonder if there is a middle out to this, if that makes sense. Middle out both directions.
Sure.
Because we there is a lot of discussion and a lot of people that just crap all over middle management. But there are some really smart, really caring people in those spots. And I think they've felt beat up. So change from the top, yes, of course. And I'm thinking middle out. And I think that kind of goes with what your blog article said, and I know that you and I have extensively kind of riffed on and thought about. What do you think about that?
Well, I think middle is closer to the top than grassroots. And so, yeah. You know, I think Ken's onto something here with there's got to be buy-in from the people in the organization that have positional authority. You can't get around it, right? Whether it's middle management, executive leadership, whoever. And I think you're right. Not only do the people at the top have to lead it, but the people up and down the org chart have to be bought into it. Because as Ken notes here, change is extremely difficult and fraught with conflict and may take many years of sustained effort. If people are not bought in, they will not sustain the effort. The conflicts will get out of hand and difficult things tend to be, people tend to quit.
Yeah.
You know, and if we don't have that buy-in up and down the org chart and that leadership from the top, this is such a difficult, expensive, emotionally draining undertaking. It won't be sustained and it will fail, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting though, that he's very clear, requires change by everyone.
Yeah.
You know, there's no mincing of words. It's top to bottom. Wonder why this is why, you know, most of the big banks that we deal with are on their eighth transformation. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they missed some of Ken's comments here.
Yeah, you know, another thing I think too is we've worked with several organizations specifically recently that are doing quite well.
Yeah.
What I think is fraught with conflict, they learned how to do conflict resolution because there should always be conflict. Conflict can be very healthy. We shouldn't always be agreeable. There is no end to this. Right. There is no agile transformation. There is not a endpoint where you say we're agile. Right. That's not a thing. You've been lied to by anybody that's told you that there is an endpoint to your journey to delivery nirvana, because as soon as you get there, the whole landscape of the world has changed and you've got to pivot again. This is learning how to deal with conflict appropriately and constantly to arrive at the best solutions to your process, to your product, to your practices. And it says, and may take many years of sustained effort. I think here I might disagree with Ken to say that it is just a sustained effort. By many years, I think it could be eternal. I don't know that there is an endpoint.
Well, even on a personal level, Todd, I mean, how often do you and I kind of note where we feel a pull towards old practices?
Yeah.
And we've been doing this for 20 years. We're PSTs. We're trained. We've written books on this stuff. And there are still times, I'll speak for myself and see if you agree, where I feel myself reverting back to old practices because I'm nervous, rushed, scared, whatever it is. And I have to stop and remind, no, this, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I have to sustain that learning and that effort continuously.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I fall into that trap myself with being over analytical.
Sure.
You know, I want to dig to the bottom of every answer. And sometimes I've dug far enough, but I just keep wanting to dig. And so I think it is in all of us, and we have to fight that. And it is a sustained effort that that for me, at least since I started this stuff, is a constant evolution of the way that I think. And I think it's a constant evolution of the way that organizations adapt. And, you know, we are running into some organizations that are doing quite well with that, that have learned this. We're running into some too that just keep running against a wall. And I wonder if it is that lack of sustained effort or that one key person that left can sometimes be it.
Sure. Well, the sustain an effort that is hinging on one person's presence is not sustainable. That's why you see this regularly. I've left an organization and it's not because I was doing anything great. It was just, I was the one putting Scrum in front and mind of key people. Once I left, it fell apart. No one else was that. So that I did not create a sustainable change. Right. And that's what we're after, where the absence of a person doesn't, you know, have the whole thing fall apart. And because, you know, this last sentence that Ken put in this statement, turnover of staff and management can be expected. That's a sobering comment. Mm-hmm. Not everyone will make it. Not everyone wants to work this way. Not everyone is bought in, and they will leave.
Yeah, they will. And some of the people that will leave will be good. It wasn't working for them. The openness, the ability to have conflict, it's just not in them. And that's okay. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just means that they like to maybe work solo. They're not as much as a team-oriented person, which not everybody is.
Yeah. No, nothing wrong with them. Just we love them, and we hope they have success somewhere else.
Yeah.
God, I think that does it.
Yeah, another heavy one.
Yeah. What do all of you think? You know, Scrum is definitely hard and disruptive. What are your thoughts on number 7 here? We'd love to read those in the comment section below. Be sure to like and subscribe. Hit that bell so that you don't miss our future episodes of
ding, this ding. Series.
What's that?
I just ding-dinged. Hit the ding, bell. Ding.
Some videos are going to pop up. We think you're going to like them, too. It's our Scrum 101 and our EBM course, I believe. Both of those are free. They're excellent. These are great tools to get you started, so check those out. For Todd, I'm Ryan. Go forward. Scrum on. Remember that this is supposed to be hard, but if you work through these things well, you can come out the other side many years later in much better shape. All right. See you next time.
See you.
Hey, it's Ryan. If you're enjoying this show and want to take a deeper dive into Scrum with me and Todd, check out agileforhumans.com/training. Be sure to also look at the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter, get a copy of our book, Fixing Your Scrum, and learn more about working with us at Agile for Humans. Thanks for listening, and Scrum on!